And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, the bottomless pit we know now to be this reincarnating mortal self, going in and out of life and death in repeated cycles, trying to find who we are and why and what we're to do. But there's a key to this reincarnating self. And the key, of course, is the testimony of Christ Jesus on earth, standing before Pilate, saying, "I have come to bear witness to the truth. Not to what men see or feel or hear with their five sense minds. Not to evil and suffering and all of the disasters that culminate in death on earth. No, I haven't come to bear witness to these. I've come to bear witness to the truth." You see, that truth will become the great chain in the hand of the angel. For that great chain will link us with God, with the infinite. The angel come down from heaven with the key, which is the chain to the infinite, is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Through Christ in you, instead of moving into the death and life cycle again and again and again, you move up and out through transition. Out of the bottomless pit, linked with the infinite, one with the Father. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now you know that Satan is mortal mind. And here they're all linked together, Satan, the serpent, the devil, all the mortal mind, the world consciousness. And now Satan is bound for 1,000 years on earth by the testimony of Christ Jesus. For 1,000 years. And that's how we're going to arrive at an idea about what is called the end of the world. Now, it is not generally known that crucifixion of Christ Jesus on earth was the binding of Satan on the earth. For at the moment of crucifixion, mortal mind was limited, controlled, fixed to a certain area. After crucifixion, Christ Jesus went further into the high consciousness. And there in the invisible behind the veil, once more taught his apostles who had joined him, and the saints and the spirits, leading them all into the understanding that there is no separation from God. I and the Father are one, in heaven, on earth, everywhere. This testimony, in heaven as on earth, is where the real first resurrection took place. When all those who had made transition, but in spite of it still had lingering memories of mortal days, of material days, Christ in them was lifted to the point of total freedom, so that they, for these first 1,000 years after the crucifixion, behind the veil, could learn the fullness of the Spirit. And this teaching of the Christ message to those behind the veil was the binding of Satan on the earth For now, after these 1,000 years, these spirits, these angels, these apostles were then equipped to turn to the earth and from behind the veil to teach you and me the message of Christ. So it is said, and cast them into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Now you see then, after the 1,000 years of Christ's teaching in heaven, by the transcended Christ Jesus, Satan on earth would now be loosed a little season. And that loosening is what you're witnessing in the world today. Wherever you're seeing violence and hate and corruption and disaster and disease and death, you're witnessing the loosening of Satan on the earth. For as the activity of those enlightened spirits reaches earth, in increased measure, we witness this house cleaning in which mortal mind on earth becomes more violent, more destructive, because it is being cast out of the temple. And there will be a day called the fullness of evil. That will be when spirit's activity is at its highest measure. And in this world, it will be sort of unbearable. But that fullness of evil is the signal for the end of the world. Now you see, God is not in the flesh. And therefore the flesh is perishable, temporary, something we should not and cannot cling to. God is infinite, and infinity is all there is. Flesh is finite. We are not in these forms. And invisibly, Spirit is working to show us by the raising of the world consciousness that the end of the world for us is the beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. Why a new heaven and a new earth? Because the earth that we have, the heaven that we have in our concept, are not the earth and heaven of God. This is the world consciousness, the mortal mind concept of heaven and earth, the temporary shell. It must perish. I've been told about a group working on earth who are trying to prevent the end of the world through their meditations. They're really mistaken. If they succeed in making spiritual contact, they will hasten the end of the world. We're not here to prevent the end of the world. It is the will of the Father that he be perfect. And you cannot be perfect in this world. And that's why John says, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is not the world created by the Father. This is not my kingdom. And there are many boys all over the world who have turned away from religion because they have not been taught this truth. And there are scientists who believe they have all the answers, and we look to them for answers, don't we? But stop and think. There is no life in form. There is nobody in those forms that we call scientists, and we're looking to them for answers. Nobody's home. Nobody's there. We have learned that the only inhabitant of earth is the Son of God, Christ. And Christ is never in a human form. Christ is never in anything finite. And for you to realize Christ in you, you must empty out away. The imprisoned splendor can never express when you're in the mortal mind, in the concepts of this world. That is called nakedness or ignorance. The belief that we can make this mortal body spiritual or Christ-like. We're learning to grow into self, out of concept, by following the Master. And you will do well if, at intervals during the day, even for only 5 minutes, if you will learn just how to meditate in a different way, perhaps. Not a you trying to make a contact. You can go on for another 1,000 years failing in that. But rather, a resting in the Word, in the knowledge that I am not in this form. I am the Christ of God, and Christ is not in this form. Christ is free, unconfined, unbound. And the words omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence are in Christ, not in a me. There is no me. There is no me to make the contact. And so my advanced way, my better way of meditating, is to relax in the knowledge that here, not in a form, but here, I stand in the one consciousness. Not the consciousness of God and the consciousness of me. The one consciousness of God is here. And in it I rest. Quietly. Confidently. In total trust. There's nothing to do. But to know the Father is here. I'm not in a form. I'm simply conscious. And let the Father within do the work. Let Spirit be itself. Just rest in the Word. Now, while you're doing this, if you have a goal, an object, a purpose, a wish, you're making a mistake. That would be the activity of a second mind. And it would be instant separation from the very God, the very one divine consciousness, which is the source of all life. And so don't make that mistake. Don't have a little idea tucked away in the back of your mind that you're trying to get something. Your seeking and your asking and your knocking is simply the giving away of all belief in a personal me. The moment you have given away that idea and come without that idea to the Spirit quietly and easily, effortlessly, resting, seeking nothing of this world, nothing, only you, Father, to be in you, to know you, and I are one. This is all. Ah, then it comes, you see. Then you are joined. The illusion of a separate self dissolves, and the one is revealed as the substance of all that is. You rest in that substance. You feel the joy of oneness, doing nothing of yourself. And from this you know it wasn't the making of a contact, it was the removal of a self that never was, and the contact never really was broken. It is revealed as the permanent dispensation. Sonship is the oneness with the Father, and when you're out of this false sense of self, out of this false sense of form, that sonship is realized. Try this. 5 minutes a day. You like it so well, you'll want to do it more often. But do not go in with a desire. Just the resting. In the knowing that God is the one divine consciousness here and now. All I need do is be here. Free of the form, outside of a form. Totally unconfined to form, to mind, to concept, to a word.
Is my life, health is mine. That is the fact of being. I won't know it as I stand in a form. My soul knows it. Everything that I could possibly seek while in the form is already mine while in the soul. And as I learn there is no form, lo and behold, I stand revealed in the kingdom of God now. All that the Father hath is mine now. And the sense of form is part of the veil, obscuring that truth. I don't attain the allness. I learn to drop the sense of form which denies the allness. I don't attain immortality. I learn to drop the false belief in mortality, for I never was less than immortal self. All that the Father is, I am, and all that says I am not, I learn to drop, because what I am can never be changed. Your new name, the life of God, is not a word called I am. It is the pure being, the living, the knowing, the trust, the confidence, the absolute unwavering acceptance that the life of God I am. And there is the quality of God in you that will enable you to reach that level of confidence comfortably. You won't have to strain. You won't have to borrow integrity. Be patient. There will come a moment when you will simply know and accept. Don't think you have to prove anything to anyone, and don't feel guilty if you don't feel it yet. You can't make yourself feel something. But there will come a strength in you that enables you to say, yes, I know I am that life. And now I am prepared to live it, to accept it. Because to behold truth means to accept truth. To be a beholder means to be an acceptor. To be a witness means to accept that only truth exists and all else is appearance without form or substance in reality. This form that will die never contained your life. And it has been reincarnating in this bottomless pit for centuries, always in a new appearance, because it did not contain divine life. And only when you know divine life is you, can you know that you therefore are not the form. And then the key to the bottomless pit for you has been delivered. Receive and accept it. I am the divine life. The form is not I. And now divine life alone, which is complete in God, is my accepted consciousness. I seek nothing. I need nothing. I want nothing. Divine life lives in the kingdom of God on earth. And therefore that is where I am. Now I'm ready to behold not iniquity, not darkness, but to see through the eyes of the Father all that is around me, to see the universe as God sees it, not as mortal mind sees it, not as individual mind sees it, but as the soul receiving Christ sees it. Out of form. Walking to the world in form, but living out of soul. Out of body. And remembering that my soul is never less than infinite being. The infinite being that I am one with is my own soul. And then this finite appearance called form is in the Garden of Eden, one with the Father, manifesting the divine consciousness and not the human. We've given the universe back to God. We actually trust Him with it. Now surely you feel the Spirit flowing. It is telling us that as the mortal sense of self steps aside, which is crucifixion, the Spirit reveals itself as the power, the presence, the love, the truth. And you are in the eternal. You are building all your tomorrows simply by resting in what already is. What is it you need? I am here. What is it you want? Do you want more than I, the infinite? Is it something you seem to be lacking? Abide in me. You will bear fruit richly. Be patient. My substance is forming right now. You learn this living presence is the source of all there is. You're in the bosom of the Creator. And you are its son. There's nothing to do. You're living in the kingdom of heaven on earth in the presence of God. And the presence is living in you. You are one. Angel bottomless pit. And as you abide here, you find the reincarnating self will not have to show itself again. For I take you into another mansion of self, a mansion where no mortal can enter. We are now controlling Satan on earth. We are now exposing that there is no power in the mortal mind when you are dwelling in the acceptance of the Spirit of God as your identity. All power is in your identity. It needs no defense against this non-existent world. It needs no defense against this non-existent form. You simply abide. And the miracle of life expresses in all its perfection all around. What do you know that God doesn't know? Think about it. Whatever you know that God doesn't know is your dream. Your dream about something you think is real, but be sure to know that it cannot be if God knows nothing about it. You know all about this world, but God doesn't. You know all about death, but God doesn't. You know all about human life, but God doesn't. The next level is to learn what God does know as you drop what you have thought you know. As your knowledge decreases, God's knowledge in you will increase. This is the meaning of John the Baptist. I must decrease while he increases. As you deny more of your knowledge, more true knowledge will descend into your consciousness. This is a difficult thing for the world, but it becomes less difficult when your understanding is there. And as you feel the signs that follow, you will see the key to the bottomless pit is I of mine own self can do nothing. I can do nothing that God cannot do. How can I do something if God cannot do it? God cannot kill, how can I kill? God cannot steal, how can I steal? God cannot become famous, how can I become famous? I thought I could. But if God cannot do it, I cannot. If God cannot see something, I cannot. If God cannot hear something, I cannot. I'm reaching the point of real total human extinction and finding life waiting at the end of my human ego. As my human ego is crucified, I am born to self. Being begins where ego ends. The broad way is not for he who would walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. What the world calls extinction becomes infinite eternal life, realized. It is the very opposite of extinction. And And the path to it is extinction of the total human ego with all that it embodies. The human ego constitutes Satan on the earth, the dragon, the serpent. Right in the midst of what we had called me. But it's a brass serpent. It has no life, no power, once it is recognized. When I am rid of this human ego, I stand revealed. Then you're in your new name and a new body. A body that literally is the Christ body. It's not the body of the mental universe. And you're in your Christ life. You remember the broad way that leadeth to corruption. That's the one we've all been living in, our reincarnating bottomless pit. And this narrow way gets narrower and narrower and narrower before it gets fuller and fuller and fuller. Very well aware that there is a place here where we're all very uncomfortable. And it is uncomfortable because it's like, well, you drive a certain kind of a car and you step out of it and now you're driving a different kind. Or you're used to a certain piece of equipment and now you're learning about another kind. There has to be an interim. When in your learning process, you're uncomfortable. When you drop out of a five-sense world, it isn't comfortable at all. This is part of the persecution in my name. This is part of the denying yourself and picking up your cross. This is all part of growth. Vertical growth into new mansions. That capacity to accept the change and the discomfort that goes with it while you're learning the new way. Maybe it's a dark night for you, but you can't go on forever confined to a five-sense world and still believe that you have not built a universe of graven images. Because every image of the five senses is engraved on that brain, and these are the graven images. These are the idols. These are the tombs of the mind. It's not comfortable to rise out of a tomb. Or to go through a crucifixion of the senses and of all our conditioned beliefs. And it's more difficult still when you're trying to do it. Let one do it who knows how. I, in the midst of you, am my. Thank you. Give me the job. Come unto me. I will give thee rest. Don't try to do it with your brain power. You'll be wasting your time. Let your new name do it. I, in the midst of you, for I am everywhere. I know the way. Seek I. Ask I. Knock on I. Don't do it in your human sense of self. And then when you give this job to I, let I do it. Stand aside. That's how you release yourself to your soul. And you watch your soul sup at the table of the Lamb. The true sayings of God. The Word. One more word of caution. As you're doing this, if you're still conscious of being in a form, you only think you're doing it. As long as you retain the belief that you're functioning out of the form, you're just going through some kind of a mental calisthenic. It's only the absence of you in the form that makes possible the presence of the Father. Now, this is one of our tougher lessons. But we can't go through all of Revelation still thinking that we're walking in a body of clay. We have to be sacred with the sacred text. We have to not shrink from what it says. Maybe that's about it for today. I feel that by the next two lessons, if we will faithfully work at a level of ourselves that we have not had to do before, that we will receive much invisible aid. We will even feel the dominion of I in our midst, taking total control over the world around us, over our form, over our lives, demonstrating the divine image and likeness instead of a limited human self. We're somewhere near the beginning of chapter 20, but we've said much that's in the texts of 19 and 20, and if you kind of look it over, you'll see the explanation of much of it has been given. So I think we'll still get by with two more lessons. Thanks very much.